Man in Black. Come with me down the long corridor, through the shadows, to the secluded study of the famous teller of tales.
Welcome. I am the Man in Black. These magnificent volumes you see surrounding me contain the world's greatest collection of unusual and fantastic stories. Today, I have selected a tale by Mr. John Russell, a strange story of the South Seas, The Price of the Head. The possessions of Mr. Christopher Pellet were these: a bad name in the islands, a continuous thirst of liquor, and a set of fine red whiskers. Also, he had a friend, Karaki. It was a strange thing, this friendship between Pellet and the native, for down among the Solomon Islands, the terrors of pure savagery lay just beneath the thin cover of the white man's civilization.
Bring me another bottle, my Jack.
At first, it involved nothing more than Karaki patiently standing outside Moy Jack's bar at Fafuti and waiting for Pellet to get drunk enough to take along home.
Now, please, Mr. Pellet, we're closing up now. You're plenty drunk already.
Night after night, Karaki waited while the white man sat roaring inside.
Don't tell me when to drink. Now, you get that bottle. Jump!
All right, Mr. Pellet, all right. I'll get the bottle. I'll fix you the bottle, all right.
And hurry up, you bald clown.
Here we are. Plenty good rum. Hey, Mr. Pellet?
It stinks. And so do you. And so does this old bloody island.
Don't you like my rum?
Yes. Well, I think of your rum. Oh, come here, Moy Jack. I'm going to crack your ribs. Crack your...
Hey, Karaki. Karaki, take him home.
A few minutes later, Karaki had the white man across his shoulder and bore him down the beach to the miserable shelter of pandanus leaves that they called home. There he eased Pellet to a mat, bathed him with cool water, and carefully brushed the dirt from his bright red hair and whiskers. It was quite a mystery at Fafuti, the friendship between these two men. After all, Karaki was nothing more than a heathen from Bougainville, a place where some people were smoked and others eaten. It was midday when Mr. Christopher Pellet awoke, groaned his way out of a painful fog of alcohol.
Rum, Crocky. Rum.
No, rum. You drink too much rum last night. Too much Moy Jack rum.
Huh? What do you mean? Too much Moy Jack rum?
Moy Jack. Put white powder in bottle. Make him you sleep.
So that's it. Why, this little rat? Why, I'll tear his throat out.
Be careful. Moy Jack all time. Carry knife. Cut face all up.
That little wax man. I'll murder him. Come on, Karaki.
Half in anger and half in anticipation of the pleasure of beating someone up, Pellet staggered off down the beach toward Moy Jack's bar. Karaki followed him. It was the noon hour of repose, and all Fafuti was asleep. Pellet reached the bar and found Moy Jack dozing peacefully among his bottles. He woke him with a savage kick.
Get up, you dirty scum! Get up so I can bust holes.
You're hurting me. Pellet, let go.
Feed me a Mickey, will you? Not again, you won't!
Now I'll cut you, Pellet.
Ah, will you now? Well, I'll just fix me a knife, too. Come on, my Jack. I want to twist this bottle around in your face.
Just
no, no, no. 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 That'll learn you to fight with a red-headed man. That'll learn... He's dead. Crocky, I killed him.
Yes, dead. Plenty trouble now. Police.
Good. Come on, let's get out of here. Where do we go, Crocky? I've got to hide someplace.
You go house on beach. Wait there. Me fix some boat. Leave for footy.
What boat? You got no boat.
Me find the boat.
All right, I trust you. But hurry, man. Hurry!
We return to The Price of the Head in just a moment. But first...
Hello, everyone. This is Ray Milland. You know, making motion pictures is a difficult chore and doesn't leave one very much time for too many outside interests. However, even when making something to live for, there was one must on my weekly schedule. And that was listening to the Amos and Andy program every Sunday on CBS Radio.
Thank you, Mr. Milland. And now, once again, The Man in Black.
Pellet waited in terror in the shack on the beach while Karaki broke into the boat sheds and with an axe smashed the bottoms out of the three craft sheltered there. Then he opened the trade room and quickly gathered together a big bundle of supplies, including a Winchester rifle and box of cartridges. Next, he carried everything out onto the beach and loaded it into a stout outrigger canoe that belonged to the company agent. Finally, he fetched Pellet from the shack, and together they hurriedly launched the canoe in the lagoon. Karaki rigged the big mat sail, and they paddled out into the breeze just beyond the harbor entrance.
We made it, Karaki. We're safe.
Yes.
Look, where are we headed for, anyway? What island we go, Karaki?
Bougainville.
Bougainville? You crazy? That's 800 miles from here.
All same we go. My home.
800 miles?
We go all fine. Always want to bring you my home.
All right, you idiot savage. I don't know why you're doing it for me, but I'll see you through.
It was not the beginning of a very pleasant voyage for Mr. Christopher Pellet. The fear of being captured and hanged was great enough, but added to it were the horrors brought on by a sudden and complete lack of alcohol. And Pellet had been constantly drunk for over 2 years. The first night he was too seasick to care, but by morning he was raving. However, Karaki quickly tied him up hand and foot and lashed him under a thwart and continued to sail off into the open sea. Now and again, he threw a dipper full of seawater over the white man and occasionally fed him with coconut milk. Karaki was an excellent nurse. He even combed Pellet's red hair and whiskers twice every day. By the time they reached the Santa Cruz region, Pellet's condition had improved and Karaki released him. They were now in an area peppered with tiny islets, and Karaki decided to land on the lee of one in order to replenish their water supply. He dropped sail and was paddling slowly into the beach, when suddenly from out of nowhere a cutter carrying two white men appeared behind them. One of the men signaled for the canoe to stop and surrender, but Karaki had other ideas.
No! No catching Karaki and Pellet! Go away!
Put that gun down, Karaki! We're in enough trouble now!
Okay. I shoot.
Stop, Karaki!
For some foolish reason, the two white men didn't believe a native would dare resist them. And for their mistake, they were both killed, and the cutter sunk. Karaki, however, wasted no time sailing back into the open sea without his precious water. And 29 days later, he was doling out the few remaining drops to Pellet, taking none for himself. His every gesture was one of sacrifice, that his white companion might survive. Finally, on the 36th day, they sighted Choiseul, and by noon they came ashore. There they stayed for a week, fattening themselves on the unlimited supply of coconut.
Oh, you think Bougainville's just under the horizon, eh, Crocky?
Yes.
Well, all right, old chap. You got me this far, I trust you. You know, Crocky, you're quite a fella.
Yes.
Yes. You sure don't talk much, though.
I don't seem to reach you somehow.
Why, even I'd like to know what goes on under that top nut of yours, my boy. I'd also like to tell you how grateful I am. Wish I could show you. Crocky, now, listen. Me, one big fellow friend, long you. Savvy? You, big fellow friend, long me. Savvy? We two damn big fellow friend always. Aye?
Yes, my word.
My word. Oh, Crocky, you kill me.
And so Christopher Pellet warmed to a man for the first time in his mean life. He actually felt grateful to this quiet savage who had with rarest self-sacrifice saved his life again and again. And now that he was thoroughly sober, he could understand it even less. The native islander was a mystery to the end. The end came 2 days later at Bougainville. Under a gorgeous dawn, they sailed into a bay that was crystal blue and right up onto a dazzling white beach. Pellet was the first ashore, and he ran up to a rocky point to see all the charm of the place for himself. Crocky, in his simple and efficient way, proceeded about his own affairs. He landed what was left of the supplies stolen at Pafuti and piled them high on the beach. A few minutes after, Pellet heard a gentle footstep behind him and turned to find Crocky standing there with the rifle at his hip and an axe in his hand.
Me like.
Oh, sir. Me like, too. Ah, this is a great place you have here, Crocky.
Me like 'em head.
Huh? Huh? Oh, I like you, too, Crocky. We big fella friend, right?
Me like him too much. One fella head belong you.
What do you mean? I don't understand.
Red hair. Fine red whisker. Big prize here. Smoke him head. Make him Crocky. Big man on island.
You mean you're going to... My head...
Fine head. Very fine head. Cut him off now.
That was the way of it. That was all the mystery. In Caracas country, a white man's head, well smoked, was indeed a prize. But that of Mr. Christopher Pellet with his precious red whiskers was a thing to be desired above the love of women. And the simple, patient, enduring Crocky had served hard to win it. And did it really matter to Pellet how or why he died, since his own race would have hanged him for murder anyway?
So ends the Man in Black story for today. The Price of the Head by John Russell. Before we hear of next week's tale, let me remind you that Hearthstone of the Death Squad follows on this station in just a moment.
Next week, I've selected for you one of the most unusual and terrifying stories in my library. Mr. William Faulkner, one of America's most distinguished authors, wrote it, and he calls it simply, A Rose for Emily.
The Man in Black stars Paul Frees, today assisted by the noted Hollywood actor John Daner. This is the CBS Radio Network.